You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon.
This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this reminiscere Sunday is according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Once again, in our gospel lesson, we see probably the devil's greatest trick. And if it didn't work, he would stop using it, but it always works. It is the trick of distraction, the trick of taking your eye off the prize, your eye off the ball. As even we were talking about in Bible study today, it's almost like everything we study in the Bible, we were not studying Matthew today. We were studying John, but it seems like the same thing is true no matter what Bible book we find. We can't seem to escape even the gradual today. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Because as we look towards the Lord, the devil wants to distract you to other things, to keep you away from him. We'll see here in the gospel lesson. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman, from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. We remember the bigotry, sort of the racism against the Canaanites. We remember who their patriarch was. It was Ham. You remember Ham, if you were here last Wednesday, you will remember that Ham was the one who saw Noah passed out drunk, wearing no pants, apparently. And he went and sort of told his brothers, and his brothers went in and hid themselves, and they covered their dad's shame up rather than continue this spectacle. And when Noah woke up, his response was a curse on the Canaanites, the child of Ham. And so now from then on out, these people are no good. So now here we have. And so now this Canaanite woman, they're probably thinking, well, of course your daughter's possessed. Nothing good can be of a Canaanite. And even Jesus responds to them in a way that the kind of sounds like he was saying, okay, I'm going to say to them what the disciples would have me say. I'm not here for you, Canaanite. I'm here for the people of Israel. I'm here for Jacob's line. And then, of course, the disciples got quite a rude awakening when they found out just who this grace was for. Awkward, right? Turns out this Canaanite woman, who was no good, God's mercy starts to come forth for her because Jesus is walking with the disciples, and it's kind of a particular scene. We've just been playing it out. She's in distress. She's in need. Literally, she is now to the point to say, I don't have any pride. I can't come to Jesus as some sort of equal and say, hey, what's up? Hey, I have a favor to ask you. Nothing is left. She's exhausted. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. It is my daughter. She's been brought low, knocked down, if you will, by demons. To this, Jesus keeps on going, apparently as if he didn't hear her. I like this. It's kind of interesting. He wasn't concerned about her plea. This does not deter her, though. She keeps crying and crying for mercy. She knows who he is, and she knows she has no hope without him. So her cries continue. The first people to react, and remember, and the way the disciples deal with this, it's so them. Whenever the disciples act really kind of righteous, you're just going, here we go. Hitch up to the train. They're going to tell us what's wrong with this Canaanite woman. They didn't react with mercy or kindness. They reacted with irritation because this woman has been whining and whining for a really long time, and she seems to be showing no sign of letting up. Eventually, the disciples sort of crack, right? They just can't take it anymore. And they're like, Lord, send her away. These are the people who've seen him raise people from the dead, blind see, the deaf can hear. Send her away. She keeps crying and crying, and it's driving us nuts. What Jesus does next, Martin Luther quoted, I love this, Christ nowhere in all the Gospels is painted as being so hard as he is being painted here. Because Jesus says, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She only responds in a whimper, help me. Jesus responds, it isn't right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She responds, yes, that's true. And yet even dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. In other words, I don't deny that I am as low as you say that I am. I don't deny that I am begging to you like a dog. I am happy to receive even the smallest token of grace from you, Lord. He threw her more than a crumb, though, didn't he? In fact, he stated what we know so well. It was neither her pleading nor her crying, but faith that Christ saw in her. He didn't see a descendant of the one who brought shame on his father. He didn't see somebody who's a social leper, a pariah. What he saw was faith. Somebody who says, I've got nothing, but now I have you, so I have everything. It's an important lesson to learn. Regardless of her birth and nationality, this woman was a member of God's people. Her lineage shows us this. She was a child of God by faith in her Savior, the Son of David. Her faith had conquered. And as a reward of her faith, her wish was granted. In that very hour, her daughter was restored to health. Thus God wants to do even for you now. When he has denied our prayer for such a long time and has always answered us no. But we firmly cling to the yes in the gospel. Then it must finally be yes and not no, for his word will not lie. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you, says Jesus. And as Martin Luther quoted this, he said, thus this story is an especially fine example of true faith, that this must be exercised and shall yet finally conquer and obtain all. If we follow this woman, for she will not let even the Lord take the yes out of her heart, out of her faith, that he be kind and would help. I love stuff like that. We see it in the Bible all the time, and maybe we've grown callous or bored by it. I don't know what the problem is. But it's amazing that we see this example of people in society who have nothing. They have no even hope left. And then they come across Jesus and they're like saying, wait, there is hope. Wait, I it's going to be okay. I love this. Because again, her lineage says not to be trusted. And yet Jesus says, well, none of you are really. I love his answers when he dies on the cross. When John 3:16 doesn't say, for God loved the whole world except for the Canaanites, obviously. For God so loved the world except for those other people over there. It was always the whole world. And John said it, and that was outstanding to hear who mercy and grace could be for. How do we lose this love in our hearts? How do we lose this? We are most often the Canaanite, I think, is why we lose it, because we forget this. We forget that we think of ourselves as being those disciples who are wise, and we think of sometimes probably as that we're Jesus, and we forget we're the hopeless schmucks, the Canaanites. When we think we are a disciple, our brokenness cries out for mercy. Have mercy. The miracle is in your baptisms. You are shown mercy, not simply on that day, but every day since. Every day in the life of being fallen and broken sinners that you are. You have the constant reassurance that you are not an irritant to God, but a beloved child who comes to our dear Father, and he regards us as his dear children, not a jailer, but a father. So the cries we make are not, well, shut into an empty closet or an empty cave, but actually into the ears of the one true God who hears your cries and cares for you. For every commandment, for every law of God's that you have broken, God himself has become broken for you. He gives you his very body broken for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins, and his very blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. You remember who did this and rejoice that the faith he has given you has been heard and answered. Indeed, there's nothing better than coming to the Lord's table. As though we are dogs, expecting only scraps and excited about it at that. Instead, to find out that we are not dogs, but we are children who have a place at the table all along. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.